morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My local church has sent their greetings, and my wife couldn't be able to be here today. She is due this week, so keep us in prayer. Let's turn to the book of Philemon. It is a blessing to be able to read the whole book in a service. The book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I'll be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Amen.
as well.
Lord, you have given us another opportunity to sit under your word. Help us, Lord, to hear your word and to obey. Open our hearts, Lord, and make us understand your words, so that we may repent of our thinking and of our doing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Many people, when talking about love, they look at love in a sentimental way, or as the world looks at love, but forgetting love outflowing from the gospel, motivated by the gospel. Now, here Paul is in prison in Rome, reminding Philemon about his love for the saints and what love does. In other words, this epistle displays a masterly example of a Christian love. Now, if you look at verse 5, you will say, because I hear of your love. Look at verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love. Verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. This letter was written at the same time when the book of Colossians was written. They were sent together, probably Ephesians as well, by Paul, sent together. He is writing to Philemon. Looks like a personal letter. But he also mentions Apphia, many say it's Philemon's wife, and Archippus, his son. This church was meeting in the house of Philemon, and Paul takes some time to look at the problem that these two characters that you'll see, Onesimus and Philemon, were encountering. Now, in fact, there are three characters here. You have Philemon, you have Onesimus, you have Paul. Now, let's look at these three characters. It looks like Paul here is saying love costs, or real love costs. Now, let's look at these three, looking at why does real love cost. Because real love forgives. That's the first thing. Now we look at Philemon. Philemon was a wealthy slaveholder who lived in Colossae, who became a Christian probably during Paul's 3-year stay at Ephesus. The church was meeting at his house, since they had house churches during those days. Now, Onesimus is the slave of Philemon, and it seems that Onesimus has stolen something, according to verse 18. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. He has taken something from Philemon, his master, and he ran away. slaves would normally run away to seek their freedom in the big city of Rome. Some, they would steal some goods or money and then run away. So it seems that this is what happened here. Onesimus stole something and ran away to Rome. There were lots of slaves in the Roman Empire. And they say the danger of revolt was constantly to be guarded against. So slaves who ran away were treated very harshly. Now, if Philemon does not deal with this runaway slave, Onesimus, the community is watching. How is Philemon going to treat this runaway slave? Because he will be setting an example for other slaves in the community. He had two options: punish Onesimus or kill him. If he forgives Onesimus, he is setting a wrong precedent in the community, because you have to deal harshly with the runaway slaves. Now, more than that, as Paul seems to suggest that Philemon should forgive Onesimus, can he do that? I mean, someone who has stolen something from you, can you trust that person? Because if he ran away once, he could run away again. On top of that, he has stolen something from you. Now, how was the relationship going to be between Philemon and Onesimus? He is not fully convinced that Onesimus could be a Christian. That might be the questions in his mind. Is he really a Christian? Or is he just pretending so that I might welcome him back and not punish him? You are supposed to set an example, teach others a lesson by punishing Onesimus. It was within his rights, Philemon's rights, to punish him or to kill Onesimus. But Paul appeals that Philemon to put his rights aside for the sake of the gospel and show real love, the love that costs. Now, he says, if you consider me as Paul, as your partner, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. That's verse 17. If you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If you refuse to receive Onesimus, you should refuse to receive me as well. A failure to receive Onesimus as his brother would threaten the very essence of what it means to be a brother. Paul expects Philemon to do more. Now, love costs. Because love forgives. It seems that love forgives the unforgivable. If we look at the example of Christ, who forgave us while we were unforgivable, we see the example of real love. And Paul appeals to Philemon that the gospel should motivate you to forgive Onesimus, even if Onesimus has wronged you. Secondly, love humbles. Now let's look at this character of Onesimus. It seems that Onesimus, after running away from Philemon to Rome, he sought out Paul. Probably he had met Paul, not sure, or one of his fellow workers. He then became a Christian and worked with Paul while Paul was in prison. And he was very helpful to Paul. That Paul would say in verse 13, I would want to keep him. You read verse 13. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. Paul had fallen in love with this runaway slave, Onesimus, because Onesimus was helping Paul while he was in prison. He was useful to him. Hence, he will appeal to Philemon that even though he was useless to you, but now he is a useful brother. He became a Christian. Paul feels that it is his duty, Onesimus' duty, to return to Philemon. So, although Paul wants Philemon to open his arms, receive him with love, forgives him, but Onesimus must humble himself and return to Philemon. He has caused Philemon. He has stolen from him and he ran away. If he ran away, who was going to perform his duties? The law gave Onesimus no protection as a runaway slave. Slaves had no rights and no property. Not even his family belonged to him. Buckley says that a slave was not a person, but a living tool. Two options to deal with him is to punish him. They say they will brand him with a red hot iron in his forehead with the letter F for fugitive or a runaway slave. In other words, people will see him. He will have this mark and people will see him that he is a runaway slave. In other words, when Onesimus was returning to Philemon, he was risking his life or to be given that mark of a runaway slave. Or he can be put to death, as I've stated earlier. They say in the Roman Empire, slaves were constantly crucified for even smaller offenses than what Onesimus had done. But Onesimus has to humble himself and return to his master. This meant that Onesimus had to face the challenge of what he did, to ask for forgiveness, go back to his master. If he was dishonest, he has to change now. This was a challenge for him. Going back to his master could mean a severe punishment or even death. But Paul appeals to Onesimus to be humble, because love should humble us. Thirdly and lastly, love forgives. Love humbles. Thirdly, love reconciles. Now we look at Paul. Under the Roman law, a slave could seek help of his owner's friend to re-establish a good relationship with the owner. Don Carson says that Paul, in conformity with the Roman law, he is sending Onesimus back to his master. He didn't just preach submission to the authorities, but he did submit as well as Paul. But more than this, more than following what the Roman law required to return the runaway slave, but Paul did not just send him to Onesimus, but he wanted Philemon to reconcile with Onesimus. He wanted to reconcile these two believers. He had a strategy. He intended that this letter, although it seems like a private or personal letter, but this letter should be read in the church, in the entire church. The church that meets at Philemon's home. His wisdom is shown in trying to reconcile these two, because love should reconcile the brothers. Now, probably as this letter was read, Paul expected the accountability from the church that Philemon, as a leader, will take heed of what Paul has written to him. Now, this personal moral dilemma of Philemon may become the community's concern, the believers' community's concern. Paul even makes an offer to Philemon and says, if there has been any loss that Onesimus has incurred, I will pay it. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I will repay it. You see, when reconciling two people, Paul is putting himself in the middle and say, I will take the pain. Isn't that what the gospel does? Isn't that what Jesus did in reconciling us to the Father? He put himself in the middle. Reconciliation does not come cheaply. in this case of Philemon and Onesimus. Welcome him as a brother. Receive him. And if he has wronged you, I will take the blame. Slavery was deeply rooted in this culture. And some blame Paul that he doesn't really deal with this issue of slavery. But you see, Paul dealt with the brothers within the church to treat each other as brothers, even if one has done wrong, to forgive, to be humble, and to reconcile. Now, can you imagine in Rwanda, 1994, when there was a Rwandan genocide? They say Rwanda had more numbers of Christians than any other African countries at the time. They had about 90% of Christians, but they killed each other. It was a tribal killing. The Hutus and the Tutsis, the first to kill were those who were the regular members of the church, and they were the first to kill each other. They say more people were killed in the church than anywhere else. A neighbor killing a neighbor. Now, how do you reconcile such two parties? How do we treat each other as believers? Does the gospel set an example? Does the work of Christ on the cross set an example for the brother love? Can we see on the cross that real love costs? Because it forgives, because it reconciles, because it humbles. Now, I don't know your problems. I don't know what KPC might be going through amongst each other. But what I know is that the Lord is encouraging us today to love. If you already love, then continue to love. Because real love costs. I mean, when people coming together, even having a Lord's Supper, but still they don't love each other. Or love hasn't cost them, as encouraged by the gospel. Do we love each other? Now, brothers, this is what was happening between two people, but this became the problem of the church, because the letter was read in public. In fact, Paul, he put himself in the middle of these two brothers. Look, it's easy to say if two brothers have a problem and you say that's their thing, I don't need to
argue about that thing. They should resolve it. I mean, they are adults, though. But Paul, he went in between and he laid himself. He says, if he owes you, then take it on my account. Because he wanted to reconcile the two brothers. How is our love as KBC? Does it really cost? Can we forgive the unforgivable? Can we be humble and go and ask for that forgiveness? Can we lay ourselves in the middle because we want to reconcile two brothers that have a problem in the church? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that today you are reminding us what you have done on the cross. You are reminding us that this love, it costed you. And now, as believers who are among each other, who are facing different and difficult problems in the churches, KBC looking for a pastor, they might have some squabbles within them. They might find themselves having enemies amongst each other. But Lord, may you encourage them to continue to love and realize that love costs. Love forgives. Love humbles. And love reconciles. Help us, Lord, to be edified by your word.